It's a wild scene down here, RJ.
Yeah?
Yeah, you can only imagine what's going on. Basil is playing with his phone and signing autographs, and Roger's eating and
giving people rides on Gravely's?
Pretty much.
We're going to do that.
He hadn't done that yet. He's planning to.
I will do it.
And we have, where did Lewis go? Where did Lewis Campbell go?
Coach!
No, he's wandering around.
We got politicians. We got
guy from the lottery here. We got all kinds of folks down here.
Don't forget, at 9:22 today, we've got Will Ferrell coming on the show.
Oh, how could we forget?
We need to do that interview in Spanish.
Well, rumor has it that he may come on the show initially talking Spanish, but
I wouldn't doubt
that. That can't be confirmed nor denied.
Now, before we went to break, Tommy, or right at break, we heard one of the local guys here said that it was Captain Sheridan from the Calvary, right?
Yeah. From the Calvary. From your.
What's his first name?
Paul.
Captain Paul Sheridan.
Nobody called him Paul.
Grab your microphone there, Coach.
Larry, maybe.
Head coach, football do you coach? Know who Sheridan was named after?
Philip Sheridan.
Philip Sheridan.
Captain Philip.
Hold the microphone.
Hey, Coach, you got to hold the microphone. There you go. There you go.
I didn't know it was.
You're on. Yeah.
Oh, we're on air. Well, they asked.
Good thing you told me that.
Did you have a good record last year? What was y'all's record last year?
Well, after the playoffs, it was 6-6.
But you made it to the playoffs, and that's the important thing. Because they'll run you off around here if you don't get the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Right?
Well, we were won our first playoff game in 21 years, so we're not where we want to be, but we're making progress.
It was a success. I heard Malzahn on with Matt England the other day. We need to get him on more. He tells it like it is. He says he thinks that Arkansas and Arkansas State will play sometime in the next 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, of course, so then he calls Jeff Long, and he gets Jeff Long saying, it ain't going to happen.
Conflicting reports.
Yeah. What do you think about that whole thing? I think of ASU, if Arkansas continues to pull games out of Little Rock or leaves us with one, and Malzahn somehow or another goes 10-2 a couple of years and gets a game or two in Little Rock, I sense things shifting a little bit.
Well, I think that's the key. They're going to have to win and, you know, win enough so that show that it would be a viable contest. Yeah.
Now, being a former Razorback, how do you feel about it?
Being a former Razorback, I wouldn't play them.
That's what they all say.
But by the same token, it'd be good for the state.
But you know, you're right, though. Again, if indeed Gus were to have success and they became a top 25 team, maybe 18, 17 or whatever, and I think that then all of a sudden that scenario comes a little bit different because you're right. A lot of people said there's no upside for Arkansas playing them. However, if they become a ranked team, Arkansas say, you know, you're scared of us. You know, you can't say that yet because they couldn't compete at this point. But who they got to play? Oregon and Nebraska to start the season.
Yeah, they'll have some opportunities.
Woo!
Always
give them a couple years, though. Yeah.
They'll have chances to crack the top 20. Now, Lewis Campbell played when I was a young boy. He was number 37, a defensive back. Played for the Razorbacks Ferguson years.
Yep. That's back before we had face masks.
Did you come in the same year Ferguson did?
I was a year older than he was.
Did you remember the hype around him? We've talked about these highly recruited guys, but I understand Ferguson was one of those, like, the top player in the nation kind of deal. Of course, you didn't have the media machines like you have today.
He didn't have the internet.
He wasn't sitting down at a table putting on different hats.
Yeah, no. But his dad would slap him across the room.
But he was highly, everybody was after him.
I mean, he was the quarterback, and you know, he could have gone anywhere he wanted to.
And didn't Frank beat out Bear for him? Is
Bear
that right?
And Gene Stallings.
Yeah. And, of course, he ended up with three or four teammates coming with him, so that might have helped, too. But they were good players,
too. Brought Hodge with him?
Hodge. Heck.
He was a pretty good receiver.
Yeah, he was. He started two or three years.
And you talk about how old you are and how old I am. We had Gary Adams on the show the other day, so we can feel good about it.
Yeah.
And as oddly enough, isn't it right that Ferguson had a much better pro career than he did a college career, correct? As a Razor, he didn't have a great career as a Razorback, did he?
He didn't have a running back.
He didn't have O.J.
He had one year, is that right? And did he get benched? Is that the story? Or did
he got benched his last game.
Last game of the year against Texas Tech.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Supposed to be one of the strongest arms ever play up, and one of the probably purest quarterbacks ever, and he gets benched in the last game.
Put in Walter Nelson or Scott Bull. Scott Bull. Yeah.
You know, interesting story. I guess it was 89. Yeah, 1989. I went to Tampa Bay, and Ray Perkins was the head coach, and Ferguson was the backup quarterback to Testaverde. And so one of my many great jobs was I'd kind of take the scout team. I was a scout team coach, too. So we were on offense. And, you know, back then, all the second team was the scout team because you didn't have that many people. And all of a sudden, I hear somebody throw their helmet, and they're just ranting and raving and cussing. I look around, it's Joe. I said, what are you doing? What's the problem? We don't have anybody catch the ball, you know. I mean, you know, everything was competitive to him.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a perfectionist. I mean, even as a scout team backup quarterback at 40 years old, he wanted to complete every pass.
He was kind of not nearly the same caliber athlete or anything, but he was kind of like Matt Jones. And then when he shone.
Yeah.
But he'd have those, like a game against A&M, I think he threw 51 passes, completed 31, and they lost 17-9.
Yeah.
And the week before, he just killed Texas.
Well, like you said, he wasn't surrounded by, as great a group of athletes as, say, Bill Montgomery was or some previous quarterbacks. So.
Now, listen, I want to hear, I can't remember, but briefly I want you to give your coaching career, because I think you've had a chance to coach – you know, at some pretty unique places. Of course, Sheridan is the highlight of your coaching career,
absolutely.
I would say, at this point.
That's right.
I would imagine you probably would be leaving here to cut the grass, the football field.
Well, I'm going to clean the floor.
Tell me about your coaching career. Where did it start?
Well, it started, you know, back in when I graduated in 72, Arkansas and Alabama would exchange graduating seniors as graduate assistants. So I went to Alabama, stayed there.
With Bear.
With Coach Bryant.
How many years were you with Bear?
Well, 9 total.
Wow.
And who were some of the other assistants with Bear that went on?
Mal Moore, who's still the athletic director. Bud Moore, who left there, went to Kansas. Pat Dye left there, went to East Carolina, and eventually Auburn. So Jimmy Sharp went to Virginia Tech.
But Bear was like Broyles. Obviously, they exchanged. They both had a lot of assistants and went on to become head coaches. So you went from Bear, where'd you go after that?
And I went to SMU.
Who was there then?
Ron Meyer.
Ron Meyer?
Mustang.
What year was that?
77, 8, and 9.
Okay, so I barely missed you there. And so where'd you go from there?
And I went back to Alabama after that.
Who was there at Alabama? Was he still there? Were you there his last years?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you coached his last game.
Sylvester Croom and I were in Atlanta recruiting when we got the word that he had died. So
were you in the locker room his last game in against the Liberty Bowl?
Yep.
Do you remember the speech he gave? Because it was announced it was his last game, I believe. He'd already announced it.
Yeah,
he
knew. Yeah, he'd already.
Do you remember what he said? Did he give
not really.
Not really.
No.
Was he still smoking back then when he was in the
he always said if you don't know what to say, talk slow and mumble. So I tried to follow.
Was he still like a John Wayne figure even his last year? I mean,
the thing that and it's unheard of today, but he did all through his career up through the last game is he substituted people. I mean, if I was coaching defensive backs. If the first team free safety fell out dead, well, you didn't send in the second one, even though it's pretty obvious who it was going to be. He did. So he did all the substituting.
Wow. That's interesting.
If you were a coordinator, you could talk to the media, but assistants didn't talk to the media.
That's just like what's his face now?
Because he said he didn't want, as he said, in other words, some stupid assistants go and brag on somebody. That he was trying to get their attention, and get in their head a little bit. So, I mean, to me, mentally and, motivational, psychologically, he was way ahead of the game.
Yeah. And of course, we're going to have, obviously, we were in Fordyce where they're going to name the field after him, we understand. And so, where'd you go after that last round with Bear?
Then I went to Oklahoma State as
who was
the
there?
Defensive coordinator with Pat Jones.
Pat
Jimmy
Jones?
Johnson had just left.
Did you go to the Hall of Fame banquet, by the way, when he got a
No.
He's still talking.
He's still talking.
Yeah. I was still smoking.
Well, now, who did you have? Was that the year they had Sanders and all that?
Yeah. Wow. Well, actually, when I first went there, Thurman Thomas was the running back, and Barry Sanders was
the backup.
Freshman backup.
How about that? Wow.
Did they have bounties in at Tampa Bay when you were there?
No, we couldn't even get to them to tackle them.
They were bad. You were bad, Tampa Bay, back then. Who was the coach at Tampa Bay?
Ray Perkins.
Oh, my Lord. What was he like?
Very
stern,
direct,
rigid.
Stern. I mean, you'd walk down the hall, and he may not talk to you.
Sound like Lou.
But it wasn't because, he was didn't like you that way. I mean, he was just so focused on what he was doing.
Yeah, he was a hell of a player.
Now, the second time I worked for him,
yeah,
that didn't bother me. You know, and I'd go to work for him tomorrow.
So you were Perkins. Did you coach with Lou at some point?
No.
I was saying for some reason you crossed. So Perkins and anybody else on that that you could, besides Houston? You had Houston?
At Oklahoma State?
No, no. After Oklahoma State, Pat Jones, and you had Perkins. Any other coaches you were assistant under?
No, then I went – then I went back to Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
Started the run of Jack Crow through
Denver. Oh, Ford. So you were there for the Jack Crow.
Yeah.
You remember the conversation days in that locker room?
Yeah, there wasn't any.
There wasn't much.
Now, who was one? Who told you that? I think you might have told this story. Were you in the locker room where somebody came in there and said, Jack just got fired or something?
Bill Gray said, now this was a Sunday morning about 7:30, and he sequestered all the assistants. See, I learned that word here.
Yes, that's it. Here's Sheridan.
In the locker room, he says, okay, nobody's leaving. Said, Coach Broyles visiting with Coach Crow. Well, when you just got beat by the Citadel, you knew what was coming up. Yeah. So, I mean, that was a long couple of hours sitting in the coach's dressing room with nothing to do.
That had to be one of the more.
It will never happen again. It will never happen again.
Before then, it was all cut and plain and dried. Ever since then, his firing, the handling of Hatfield, how dramatic that got at the end, the Houston Nutt era, how that ended, it gets more drama.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was a little drama involved back
in those days. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's always good to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. And we want to thank the folks at MPE for having us, because we get a chance to have folks like you on, and I think everybody from Sheridan has to come by here today, and that's part of it.
Well, they need to, because there's a lot of food.
Tommy, I think it's only fair that Roger Scott, at one point this summer, comes and mows the football field at Sheridan High School with this great little mower.
I'd be proud.
Of course, we got a new turf field, so we're gonna...
Roger,
you know, let him mow that one.
I don't know if I'd do that. A while ago, we asked him who Sheridan was, and he said he thinks he thought his first name was Tecumseh.
Hey, you know what? I know what I'm talking about.
Sherman. Sherman.
Yeah.
Hey, let me mention one thing for you. We got our Touchdown Club Golf Tournament the end of June. That is always a big occasion for us, and we'd love to have y'all come back if you can. I realize, Tommy, you may not be allowed on the course. But,
he's a good player now.
Is he?
Oh, yeah, he's got good. Scratch golfer.
I'm 300 days off the juice. I can do anything now.
He's not kidding.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank y'all for
coming. Thanks, Coach.
Appreciate you having me.
All right, thank you, Coach. We'll be back in a minute live from Sheridan.